Hello and welcome to the second podcast of the Summer Library of Union University. I am Paul Sorrell, and joining me today again are...
T.R. Parker.
And...
Stephen Mounts.
We survived the first one, and we're here for a second one. And today is a special day.
A really special day. We're going to interview author of Pujols, More Than the Game, Tim Ellsworth.
And Tim is one of our own. He is the
director of news and media
relations
at Union, and he's also a Union alum. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
So one of our own.
But a St. Louis native.
Yes, and a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Yes, and he's written a biography. It's a phenomenal work on Pujols, Albert Pujols, called Pujols, More Than the Game, and today we're going to interview him.
Yes, and we will be right back after this short break with our interview with Tim, so stay tuned. We are back, and joining us now is Tim Ellsworth. Tim is the Director of News and Media Relations here at Union, and he is also the author of another book, God in the Whirlwind, Stories of Grace from the Tornado at Union University. So, Tim, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on our second podcast, and this is a first for us because the first podcast we had, it was just T.R., Stephen, and myself, and now we feel legit because we have an actual guest.
Wow.
And
the bottom of the barrel.
No. You had the distinction of being our first guest, and what a guest, an author right here among us, and his book is Pujols, More Than a Game, co-written with a good friend of yours,
yes,
Scott Lamb.
I'm a fellow Union alum.
Okay. Now,
well,
what year did you and Scott graduate?
1996.
So I was here, and I graduated in 84, so it's a little bit before you all. But so the book, the idea behind the book, what went on with that in getting it going?
This is something that Scott and I have been talking about for quite a while. I think Scott's the one who originally had the idea of doing a biography, and it's something that we've been kicking around for a few years, actually. And we're both Cardinal fans. We both grew up in St. Louis. And so we followed Pujols' career, and ever since he came up, we knew about him. I mean, if you're a Cardinal fan, it's impossible not to know about him. And the more we followed him and the more we learned about him, we found out that he was not only a great baseball player, but that he's also a believer and that he's a Christian. And so as we followed his career and saw what he was doing on the field and as well as what he was doing off the field with his foundation and the charitable causes that he supports and those kinds of things, we just decided that his story ought to be told, that it's an inspirational story of God's grace in his life, bringing him out of poverty in the Dominican Republic, giving him a tremendous platform to share his faith, somebody who's faithful to witness at opportunities to use his status in the game to testify to the work of God in his life, and who puts his money where his mouth is by supporting charitable causes in St. Louis and other places, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But there's been a lot written about Pujols, a lot written about him as a baseball player, some written about him as far as what he does off the field and the kind of person he is. We thought that it was time to combine those things, to tell his baseball story and to tell about him off the field.
Right. That was one thing that I picked up on in the book, is that a lot of people kind of shied away from the faith side of him and just really wanted to concentrate more on the baseball side of him. And so you all kind of, I mean, you didn't flip it, but obviously you handled both sides of him more than probably other people are willing to or want to.
And that's what we set out to do. That was our goal. And for whatever reasons, the faith side of Pujols has not gotten as much play as the baseball side of him, whether that's because of lack of interest or lack of comfort from people in dealing with those kinds of things, writers and producers and reporters who cover him and who maybe aren't quite sure what to make of this. And so and Pujols and his wife Deidre have even been frustrated over the years by the lack of emphasis on the priorities in their lives. And so we wanted to emphasize those things.
Right, and you do an excellent job of that. We've all read your book and are quite impressed with it. And not only with Pujols and his accomplishments, but of the writing of the book. So how long did it take to write the book?
It took us about 6 months of actual. Once we actually got in and got started with the heavy research and writing, after we signed the contract, it took us about 6 to 7 months to do the interviews, to do the research, to do the writing. And then we had to come back. We turned in the first manuscript in April of 2010, and then we had to come back and fill in the last chapter for the 2010 season. It was the first part of it was everything except for the last season, and then we had to come back and write that chapter and add it at the end.
Tim, I'm curious regarding that, because I did, you know, the kind of the end. I finished the book last night, actually, and the end of it deals with last season. And, man, after that Cincinnati series with the brawl, and they swept the Reds, right, in that series, I thought they're going to win the division. All the momentum, you know, and then they just fell apart. But I'm curious about the timing of the book. Usually when a player retires, an athlete retires, there's a flood of biographies and even an autobiography that sometimes comes out. But here Pujols is really at the prime of his career, kind of mid-career point. Was that planned? Was that thought out? I mean, or why the timing? Why now?
We wanted to do it now because a couple of reasons. I think that, yes, there's going to be more to be added to his story. And when he does retire and people are able to analyze his place in the game, I'm sure there will be other things that'll be written. We wanted to emphasize the work that he's doing through his foundation, and there are a few chapters in there about that. And we thought if that waits until he's done playing, then that's a decade of good work that the foundation is doing that's not being highlighted. And so we wanted to go ahead and do something now to highlight that and to give people who are connected to these causes. The foundation supports children with Down syndrome. It supports the impoverished in the Dominican Republic. We wanted to let people know about that so that they can maybe partner with them and get involved if they want to. And we thought that there was enough material from Pujols' life, even up to this point. Mm-hmm. What he's accomplished in the game is more than what anybody else has accomplished in the history of the game at his stage of his career. Right. He's done things that nobody else has done. And so, yes, he's going to continue adding to it, but we think that it's still relevant even right now, halfway through his career, or what we expect will be halfway through his career.
And so does this mean there might be another a follow-up book at the end of his career, potentially?
We'll see. I don't know what the plans are, and I don't know if it's something that we'll maybe add to it, do new additions as he goes through the rest of his career. I'm sure that he may be interested in doing his own book at the time when he's done playing and getting ready to enter the Hall of Fame, and it'd be a good time for his own memoir. And he can certainly write in a lot more detail about things behind the scenes than we did, but we'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
So when you were putting the book together, when you all were putting the book together, how did you decide who was going to write what? I mean, was it like, okay, Scott, you take this part and I'll take this part, or you found yourself working on things individually and then they kind of, you know, there was just kind of a confluence that, hey, this works together? And how did that work?
We really divided it up ahead of time. For the most part, we adjusted a little bit on the fly, but we divided it up. Okay, these are my chapters, these are your chapters. And then we read them and made edits to each other's work and those kinds of things. So, we divided that up ahead of time.
Now, you all wrote an article in World Magazine, I believe was out about this time last year, on Pujols. And was this book idea kind of was that article kind of a springboard for the book, or, you know, was it kind of already in the works?
The book was already in the works at that point. The article in World was about Manly Night, which is an event that Pujols' church hosts every year for guys to come in. Pujols gives his testimony, and There are other sports figures from the St. Louis community who will be there to talk, and it's a night for the church to reach out to the community and maybe to guys who wouldn't normally come to church. And so we went to that, wrote an article about that for World Magazine, and we were certainly heavily in the middle of writing the book at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm curious about what was the research process like? I saw a lot of quotes from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to a lot of games?
was
it like?
I've gone to several games throughout the years and watched a lot of them on TV. But most of what our research involved was interviewing people who know Pujols, friends, teammates, coaches, pastors, chaplains, people who have gone with him on mission trips, the executive director of his foundation. And so we interviewed probably 30 to 40 people who know him and who have known him at various stages in his life. And so that in itself was pretty time consuming. I mean, you talk about 30 or 40 interviews and trying to line up the logistics for those and, sit down and do the interviews and then go back through them and mine the material that you need from them. And so that was one part of it. And then another component of it was researching the written records. And a lot of that did come from the Post-Dispatch because these are people who have covered him game in and game out. And they're the ones who are going to provide the best chronicling of his career from a baseball standpoint. And so we went through those archives and looking for and refreshing our memory on some of the key games and the seasons over the course of his career. And did other written records as well, other major publications and magazines and newspapers that have highlighted Pujols in various ways.
So what was the most surprising thing that you found out in your research about Pujols?
I guess a couple of things stand out in the research and in the interviews that we did. One of the common themes that emerged was how authentic Pujols is. People talked about how what you see is what you get, and how he's not putting on any kind of front, and how he is the same person today as he was a decade ago before he even had the success that he's had. And so that was one of the things that came out. I think the high level of integrity in Pujols' life is something that maybe not surprised me, but it was more a reinforcement because I've heard bits and pieces about it over the years. But even things like when he's in a hotel and he's on an elevator, elevator door opens and the woman steps on the elevator with him. If it's just going to be the two of them on the elevator, he gets off the elevator so that there is no basis for any kind of charge or accusation of impropriety. I think he really takes Scripture's command to be above reproach seriously. And that's one way that he does it. And so things like that really stand out in our research.
Have you received any feedback on how he has received the book?
I have. All I know is that he's got the book. I don't know how much of it he's read, but we do know that he has the book. I hope he likes it. Maybe one of these days we'll get a chance to talk to him about it and see what he thinks about it. But we've gotten positive reviews and responses from people who do know him, and so we've been encouraged by that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how does it feel to go on Amazon.com and see your book there and see people that you have no idea who they are? They've reviewed the book, and they like it, and they give it 5 stars. I mean, what does that feel like?
It's encouraging. It feels good. It's hard not to want to keep going back and checking and being obsessed with these kinds of things. So there's certainly that point about it. And you read reviews from some people who didn't give it as high of a rating. And the thing that's been kind of frustrating is people who – get the book to review it, and they start off by saying, "I'm not a baseball fan," and then they proceed to talk about how they didn't like that there was so much baseball stuff in it. And I just kind of think, well, what? Hey, he's a baseball player. What did you expect?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Now, our resident Cardinal fan in the library is Stephen Mount, who I am sure is chomping at the bit to get in and ask some questions. So, Stephen, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, some of this may have already been covered, but did it affect how you saw Pujols in any way? Do you look at him in a different light than you did prior to the research and writing of the book?
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Pujols. I always have had. I continue to have even after I do the book or after I did the research. And I think that says something, the fact that before you go into the kind of details and start digging and doing the research, you can see things on the surface and you have your opinion of somebody based on what you've seen. And then to go in and do a lot more research and find out a lot more about the guy than you did beforehand, I think that you can there are some potential pitfalls there, and you can find out some things that you're like, wow, I didn't know that. This really changes my opinion of him for the worse. I uncovered a lot of things about him that nobody knows. And that wasn't the case with Pujols. We uncovered things that I expected to uncover going in, that he was a man of integrity, that he's a man who's faithful to his wife and devoted to his kids. He's a man with an incredible work ethic who works hard at his craft because he sees himself as being gifted by God to do so. And that's one of the things that we found out time and again as people talked about how insane Pujols is about his work ethic. And that comes not from some selfish desire to be the greatest ever and to have all this personal glory, but he sees it as his responsibility, almost a stewardship issue, that God has given him these abilities to do that. And so because of that, because God has given him these skills, then it's his responsibility to work at developing those skills. And so, I still continue to think highly of the man even after doing this. And I think that that says a lot about the kind of character that he has.
Does the current contract situation in which you found out about him from the research in the book, how do you think of him in that way? Does that correspond?
The contract situation has been interesting to follow. And, of course, when we were doing this book with the release, we weren't expecting it. We didn't plan for it to come out at the time that it did, right in the middle of all of this contract negotiation and things like that. And I've been a little frustrated in watching these contract negotiations take place because I see a lot of fans and I see a lot of Christians who are jumping in and who are saying, well, Pujols is greedy and he's demanding this and, how can he be a Christian and demand this kind of money and all that stuff? And the thing that I've been saying all throughout this process is let's wait and see what happens before we come to these conclusions. This is not played out yet. And we don't know what Pujols is asking for. We don't know what the Cardinals have offered. I've seen reports that have varied widely about what the contract was that he turned down and what he's asking for and what the Cardinals have offered. And we're not privy to that information. And so Pujols has given us 10 years of showing us the kind of person that he is with the work that he's done off the field, with the way that he has been generous with his money. I find it hard to believe that the charge of greed is something that has merit, considering the millions and millions of dollars that Pujols has given away. And so before we're willing to throw him under the bus and say that this is what's motivating him and this is what's fueling him, let's wait and see what happens. And we may not know that until after the season is over. And if he ends up leaving the Cardinals and going someplace because somebody offered him just a little tiny bit more money than what the Cardinals did, then maybe we can have that discussion. But until that point, let's let his track record speak for itself and not throw it away based on a lot of speculation and hearsay.
Yeah, I saw a statistic recently where he is actually making a fraction of what, for example, Alex Rodriguez is making and yet putting up the exact same type of numbers and consistently year after year. That was one of the most amazing things about me reading the book was just, wow, he's doing it year in and year out. There hasn't really been a down year. Even when the Cardinals did not win the Central Division, Pujols still played consistently and well. I'm curious about, and one of the things that I noticed about the book as well was there were several discussions about the contract negotiations early in his career. For example, even when he signed the first contract.
Mm-hmm. The one he's under right now, yeah.
Well, no. Even when he signed his initial minor league bonus.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
where he was offered $10,000, mm-hmm. and he ended up getting $60,000. Mm-hmm. So, what did you find out in kind of learning about those earlier contract negotiations, and how did that apply to this situation?
Well, a couple of things stand out about that. You did mention the first one, the Cardinals had offered him $10,000. He thought he was better than that, and he didn't sign for that, and the Cardinals eventually offered him $60,000. Later on, when he was eligible for arbitration and the Cardinals were negotiating with him about a long-term contract, he ended up signing the contract that he's under now and took less money to stay in St. Louis than what a lot of people expect he could have gotten had he gone through the arbitration process, played out his contract with the Cardinals, and gone to free agency. And so I think that's something else that Cardinal fans need to remember is that he has been a tremendous bargain for the Cardinals. And with the money that he's made, and he could have made a lot more had he gone elsewhere up to this point. And so he's been consistent in his production that you mentioned. I mean, you look at his stats year in and year out, and that's one of the hallmarks of Pujols' career is the remarkable consistency. And he's been people talk about him being an injury risk and those kinds of things. You look at the games played, there have been times when he's been banged up, but he's also proven to be pretty resilient and willing to play through injuries in order to be out there on the field. And so, I think that we need to understand that this is not played out yet, and we'll see. You know, these are all things to keep in mind as we're looking at the negotiation and filter them through those lenses. That he has taken less money in the past to play for the Cardinals.
Now, there's a big – I'm sorry, Paul.
Well, I was just going to ask, with all the things he's invested in his life in St. Louis, his foundation and everything else, in your opinion, do you think that is going to be an overarching reason that he would stay in St. Louis?
I certainly think it's going to have a tremendous draw for him, assuming that the Cardinals – make him an offer that's competitive with what other teams are offering. I don't know that he's going to absolutely stay with the Cardinals regardless, and I'd have a hard time expecting him to do that. If the Cardinals come in with an offer that is substantially less than what somebody else is offering, then how do you blame the guy for going elsewhere?
Right.
People say, well, you need to be loyal to the Cardinals. Well, yes, I think that Pujols, I do hope that Pujols shows some loyalty to the Cardinals. I also hope the Cardinals show some loyalty to him,
right.
Because this is a two-way street. And in doing that, the way the Cardinals will show loyalty to him will be by offering him a contract that is I don't expect them to outbid the Yankees or somebody like that if the Yankees, you know, some of these big market teams, but at least as far as percentage of payroll and those kinds of things, then they can certainly – put together an offer that is competitive to other teams if they want to keep him. And I think the fact that his foundation is there in St. Louis, that his home is in St. Louis, his church is in St. Louis, I certainly think those are things that Pujols is going to consider when it comes time to make the decision. He's not just going to bolt for the most money, but he's going to weigh these factors as well.
I'd like to transition to – I hope Pujols stays in St. Louis. We're all kind of rooting for that. I'd like to transition into a little bit of a discussion about performance-enhancing drugs. With everything that's going on in baseball now, you know, Barry Bonds, you look at Mark McGwire, the hitting coach for the Cardinals, and the amazing seasons that he had, and then having to admit to using performance-enhancing drugs. And then you look at Pujols, and you mentioned him not getting on an elevator with a woman and making every effort to just be above reproach. But you look at him and you're like, wow, this guy is a man among boys. He's strong. He's fit. He's huge. He's hitting so well, so consistently. He has to fall. He has to be using drugs. And so there's this whole chapter spent kind of defending him, almost an apology that he's not using performance enhancing drugs. But I almost you believe it with knowing this guy, that he's really working hard and he's just got God given talent and he's using it. How did you approach that chapter, and what were some of the things that you learned?
Well, we certainly thought that was an issue that had to be addressed in any book about Pujols, because there is a lot of it has been a lot of speculation about him with performance-enhancing drugs because of the culture of Major League Baseball. Anybody who follows baseball at all has been and knows what's going on with the use of steroids and other performance-enhancing drugs. And most baseball fans have been burned. And so it's gotten to the point to where you almost expect that people are using. That's almost the default until there's proof otherwise. Because Major League Baseball has done such a lousy job of getting rid of these things in the sport. And so we certainly knew that we had to address that. And we did want to make a case for why we think Pujols is not guilty of using performance-enhancing drugs. Honestly, I wouldn't have written the book if I would have thought that he used performance-enhancing drugs, because I think that does call into question a lot of what he says he stands for. And so we wanted to lay out the arguments as for why we think that, and we did several of those things. The fact that there has not been any evidence that's been presented. And there are people out to get him. There are people who are just waiting for him to fall and waiting to jump on him should that happen. So there's got to be people who are looking for those things. And yet, despite that, there has not been any evidence that has surfaced connecting him in any way to performance-enhancing drugs. And then there's the other things that we talk about just the lifestyle of integrity, the fact that that he is somebody who he doesn't even drink alcohol, and so is that consistent with somebody who would use performance enhancing drugs? And we've talked to people who talk about how he's even nervous about what somebody might put into a milkshake or something like that without his knowledge. And we talk about how his decision to stay away from performance-enhancing drugs is based on largely upon his faith, that this is something that is not consistent with what a professing Christian ought to do. And he understands that. And so we do have a whole chapter that deals with that, and hope will put baseball fans' minds at ease concerning this issue in Pujols' life.
I thought one of the best points in that chapter was the consistency over 10 years. I mean, a lot of times you'll see sudden spikes in players' stats and then sudden declines. So you'll have these great peaks, but he's been consistent all these years.
Exactly.
So
and his body has not changed. Yeah, even from high school on up. I mean, even at the high school, people in high school talk about how he was a man among boys at the high school level. And so there's not been any kind of bodily transformation, and I know performance-enhancing drugs don't always manifest themselves in, you can look at somebody who's skinny as a rail, and then the next season they're just bulking behemoth. And sometimes it does, but it doesn't always do that. But I think that's a great argument, just the consistency that he is not he's been this way ever since he got into the league. And, most guys that are connected with it, you don't see that kind of consistent production year in and year out.
A couple of things in the book that struck me as kind of sad. One was, after a while, his mother was not in the picture. Do you know any backstory about that?
Don't know a whole lot about that, other than the fact that he was raised pretty much by his grandparents. His dad was in his life intermittently throughout his childhood. His dad was an alcoholic, and we talk about that. And we've got the testimony of Pujols, who talks about going to games. His dad was a softball player, and he would go out and drinking with his friends after games. And you'd have Pujols as a boy who was hauling his dad on his shoulders home because his dad was just drunk. And what a terribly depressing picture for any child to have to deal with. But yeah, his mother left when he was very young, like 3 years old. and was never a part of his life. Don't know any details about why she did that or anything related to that. But we do know that he had grandparents who were faithful to raise him the right way and to instill some discipline in his life. And even today, he talks about back to the performance-enhancing drugs thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons that he gives for why he won't do steroids is because of the shame that it would bring to his family and his grandparents who raised him. And they raised him the right way and not to do those kinds of things. And so he's not going to shame them by doing that.
Right.
But, yeah, it certainly is a sad situation with his mother not having that kind of relationship.
Right. Now, is his father still alive?
His father is still alive, yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure what kind of relationship they have. I do know that that Pujols has that they have some kind of relationship. I don't know if it's a close relationship or not. But I have seen interviews with Pujols where he talks about his dad in recent years and their interaction and those kinds of things.
Another thing that, for lack of a better word, sad, was the relationship between the scout, Dave Karif, and Albert, and how that kind of broke down. It sounded like it was just a situation of maybe some miscommunication or misinformation, and that seemed to put a rift between them. And I guess too to read where this gentleman was a scout for the St. Louis Cardinals, and now he's working at Walmart. Not that there's anything wrong with working at Walmart, but I'm just saying that there, and that he's pushing retirement age, and in a way, when I read it, I felt. I wonder if the authors, you and Scott, are trying to make a bridge to reconcile that relationship. Was that any thought in that when you all were writing that?
Yeah, I certainly hope that it'll have that outcome. We did talk to Dave Karif about it, and I mean, you pretty much hit the details. He was a scout with the Cardinals. The Cardinals reorganized their scouting department, and he ended up finding himself out of a job. But there has been a rift between him and Pujols. And I think that you're right as far as some miscommunication there. And Dave Karif talks about that, about how he thinks that maybe somebody gave Albert some bad information about some of the things that he said or that he supposedly said that he didn't say. And that's one of the things that I think that we mentioned in the book is maybe a little bit of a blemish on Pujols' reputation. And that's not the only thing that we talk about in the book that is – a negative about Pujols, and we all have them. I mean, none of us are perfect, but I certainly hope that there will be some reconciliation there, because Dave Karif did do Albert a great blessing by signing him and pleading his case, even if he got drafted as late as he did. And that's one of the shocking things that nobody in baseball has ever understood about why Pujols lasted until the 13th round of the draft, and hundreds of players being drafted before him. But even at that point, Karif was still pleading his case. And so I do think that Pujols owes him a debt of gratitude, and hopefully it will come to a point where they will reconcile.
So the 2011 season, National League Central Division, who you got?
The Milwaukee Brewers at this point. And since I would have said the Cardinals a week ago before Adam Wainwright messed up his elbow and is gone for the season. And so I'm not one to completely say, oh, the Cardinals have no chance. I mean, the season's over. I mean, that's why they play the game. Go out there, and you never know who's going to step up and fill that void. Losing Wainwright was, I think, the second worst thing that could have happened to the Cardinals this year behind losing Pujols for the season. And so it is a tremendous blow. Milwaukee is tremendously improved by adding Zach Greinke to their rotation.
Scott Markham.
Yeah, Scott Markham's been a solid performer and a strong pitcher. And so I think – and they've got the offense around them with Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun and those kinds of guys. And so I think that this may be the year that we see the Brewers take the division. I think the Reds are the defending champs. I think they may have played over their heads a little bit last year. But who knows? Maybe they are legit, and maybe they'll still be there again this year. I think overall the National League Central is improved from what we've seen in recent years, and I think that you've got the Cubs, who have got some strong pitching. with Matt Garza that they got from Tampa Bay, and you still got Carlos Zambrano there. And so I think that there's not as big of a divergence in a range in the NL Central. I think a lot of those – it could be a pretty tight race with a few teams.
Mm-hmm. Aside from the Pirates, they'll probably
aside from the
last.
Pirates, I figured they'll probably be the doormat again. You know, that's a role that they're used to, and I don't see any reason why that will change this year.
So, any more books in the works or ideas in your head, or do you just want to take a break from writing for a while?
Well, I am happy in taking the break from writing right now. I've got a few ideas rolling around up there, but nothing that has gripped me. So that something that I have to do. The first two books were those that I thought were no-brainers. I've got to do this book. God in the Whirlwind, the stories of the students and faculty and staff here after the tornado. I mean, I lived through that. How do I not write that book?
Right.
And I thought I had a
And hopefully there is no sequel
I hope
to
not.
That book.
I hope
just want
not.
To say that.
But I really thought I had a responsibility to do that as a – as a marker for posterity, for future generations to be able to read in a book format some of the stories about how God protected our students and our campus that night, and work through that whole ordeal. And then Pujols, I mean, I'm a diehard St. Louis Cardinal fan who's been an admirer of Pujols ever since he came up in 2001. How do I not do that book? Right. But I've got a few other ideas, nothing that's real pressing right now.
Okay. Well, Tim, we do appreciate you coming by and being our first guest.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
our
you
podcast.
So much. Yeah.
And,
enjoyed it.
If anybody, do you all have any other questions for Tim?
I don't think so, not at the moment.
All right. Well, we encourage everyone to go out and purchase the book at bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com.
Amazon. It's at Lifeway here in Jackson. It's at Books A Million here in Jackson. And online retailers and available lots of places.
All right. And it's Pujols, More Than the Game by Tim Ellsworth and Scott Lamb.
I believe there may even be a Kindle edition now.
There
is that correct?
Yeah, it's available on Kindle.
It's available on your Kindle.
Very good. And once I turn this back into the library's copy will be available.
Yes.
But not for very long, I'm sure. So, Tim, thanks again.
Thanks
we appreciate it. And we'll look forward to any other books you have coming down the pike.
Thank you so much.
Tim. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. I'm Paul Sorrell along with
T.R. Parker.
Say hello.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
And we hope that you will
come to the library and check out Tim Ellsworth's book.
And lots of other books.
And study. And schedule a research coach.
Absolutely. Because studying in the library every day
could help you perform better academically, Stephen.
Thanks for joining us, Stephen. All right. We're out. Bye. Everybody's in the mood. Everybody's in the groove.